The wonderful P. Diddy and Usher, I don't know. Now, historically, epidemics have negatively affected marginalised populations by spurring prejudice. During the 1900 bubonic plague outbreak in San Francisco, the discovery of one infected Chinese resident led to an entire community being quarantined. Blockading the city's Chinatown did not halt the spread of the disease. During the HIV/AIDS epidemic in the 1980s, gay men and Haitians were wrongly labelled as pariahs for bearing the brunt of the disease. The branding of HIV/AIDS as a disease for the marginalised resulted in governments delaying their response, limiting the necessary cooperation and control that could have saved countless of lives. The history of epidemics and pandemics over the years has demonstrated how racism, sexism, and xenophobia have detracted from efforts to control disease. On March 25th, the Terence Higgins Trust, probably to avoid history repeating itself, took the step to shout out loud to the gay community, don't hook up during the COVID-19 lockdown. It's not about protecting your sexual health, it's about protecting your general health. But that statement resulted in hundreds of men asking online the question, should I take PrEP during the COVID-19 lockdown? So I called a dear friend of mine and asked if he'd come on the show to answer that and other questions, but also to clarify something dear to my heart. Why safe sex still matters, even if you're on PrEP. Welcome the Prevention and Testing Coordinator for Positive East, Andrew Kerr, to the show. How are you, darling?
I'm good. How are you?
You know, I'm okay. Everyone asks you the question, but I'm really good. What about yourself?
So far, so good. So I'm lucky. I've not been furloughed. So I've got 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, to keep me busy during this isolation. My garden is looking amazing. I've done so much work on that, cutting bushes down, planting.
Putting, I don't want to talk about up. Bushes at the moment. I'm not going to talk about bushes. But anyway.
Okay, fine.
All right, let's kick into this. Before we talk about the whole thing around PrEP and this whole kind of lockdown, and I really want to kind of unpick and decode some of the words that are used by sexual health advisors. Mm-hmm. I want you first to tell me about the work of Positive East and the GMI partnership. What do you guys do?
So Positive East is London's largest community-based HIV and sexual health charity. And we provide a number of services across every East London borough, from prevention and testing services for HIV and STIs. We provide support services, peer support, counselling, information, advice and guidance to people, gay men, African communities, and anyone at risk of HIV. Now, the GMI partnership is a partnership of three charities, Positive East, Spectra in West London, and Metro in South London. And together, they deliver the Pan-London HIV prevention program known as Do It London.
Okay. Before I ask you some questions around the whole PrEP, I want you to first decode for me some of the terminology used by sexual health advisors. And I want to start with what does U equal U mean?
Okay, so U equals U stands for undetectable equals untransmittable. And essentially, in 2016, a study called the Partner Study released its findings. I can never say the word. One partner is positive, one partner is negative for HIV. And essentially, it found that if someone has been taking antiretroviral medication, so HIV medication, they've been taking this for several months, around 6 or more, and they have an undetectable viral load, there is essentially a 0% chance of passing HIV on someone, even if that person isn't on PrEP, and even if they didn't use condoms.
So if you have unprotected sex, you're unlikely to contract HIV, is that what you're saying?
If the partner who is positive is undetectable and has been for at least 6 months, then essentially yes.
Okay. All right.
Which is fantastic.
It's fantastic. So for those people who aren't aware of PrEP, what is PrEP and what does it stand for?
So PrEP stands for pre-exposure prophylaxis. And essentially it is a medication that you can take which can stop you coming becoming infected with HIV. Mm-hmm. It's similar to the contraceptive pill in that you take it, there are two sort of regimes you can take it on. And essentially it will, if you're taking it and you're taking it correctly and you're adhering to your drug regime, then again, if you were to have sex with someone who was HIV positive, either they know or they don't know, there again is an almost 0% risk of transmission of that virus into the negative partner if they're on PrEP.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you my question in a moment, which is about PrEP and sexual health and STIs, because I want to separate that for a moment. But I want to firstly address some of the questions that have been appearing online from the gay community. So the first question I have here, and I've picked it out from random people, but essentially is, do I need to keep taking PrEP even when I'm not having sex?
So the answer to that is, it depends on the individual. So there are two ways you take PrEP. There is one which we call daily PrEP, which involves taking one PrEP pill a day and that's it. One pill a day and that's it. There's also what we call event-based dosing. Now, event-based dosing involves four pills, which you'll take two pills 2 to 24 hours before the sexual activity, one pill 24 hours later, and then a final pill 24 hours after that. So four pills in total. Now, there are some people who plan out their sexual activity much more than others, meaning that the event-based dosing works well for them because it means they're not using up as much PrEP if they're paying for it out of their own pocket. Whereas the daily dosage, obviously, it means that you are protected against HIV if you were to have a more spontaneous sexual encounter. So if you're not having sex, it all depends on you and what you want to do. Obviously, as long as you know that if you were to have sex again, maybe more last minute, shall we say, it's important that you wait at least 2 hours before you have that, or see if I've taken your PrEP to do your event-based dosing. But essentially, if you're not having sex and you're not planning to have any sexual activity, then you don't have to take your PrEP.
But are there risks depending on your health in terms of whether you should or shouldn't even buy or be prescribed PrEP?
So PrEP is, although it's been around for a number of years now, it is still a newish drug. Mm-hmm. The drug that actually is PrEP, which is Truvada, which is the brand name in the UK and the EU and the America, it is the same pill that you would take if you were HIV positive in a combination therapy. Of course, with any drug, any medication you take, there is potential interactions with other drugs you're taking. There is potential side effects, negative and positive. And so it's a case-by-case basis, but no sort of concrete evidence has really been found to say that PrEP is going to guarantee to inject any of the drugs you're taking. Obviously, when you're taking recreational drugs, there could be interactions with those because we don't know what is in each drug specifically, because it's not legalized, not regulated. But in terms of legalized standard medication, there is less... It's not fully known, but it's likely that it's not going to interact with that.
Okay, I want to move back to some of the other questions then. This question, again, all very random from the people I've taken from, but how do I stop PrEP? And this is quite important because you have different members of the community or communities taking PrEP, from trans women, etc. So there are risks, I suppose, associated to stopping instantly. I mean, can you talk me through some of this?
Yeah, so I think it's very important to differentiate between if you're taking PrEP to protect you if you're having vaginal or frontal sex or you're having anal sex. So to go back slightly, if you are a cisgendered man or a trans woman who's engaging in anal sex, you must take your medication until you have 2 sex-free days. So if you take it, you're having sex today, but not on tomorrow or the day after, on the third day, you can stop taking your PrEP. Because it's the way that the lining of the anus is much thinner than the vagina or the frontal area, meaning that it's easier to build up an immunity and also fight off any infections that are there. Whereas for cisgendered women, or trans men, people engaging in frontal or vaginal sex, you must take a daily dose for at least 7 days until your last of risk or exposure to HIV.
Brilliant. I want to ask you this then. So how do I restart PrEP if I've stopped it? What are the things I need to do?
So to restart PrEP, it's as simple as when you start PrEP in the first place. If you're again, if you're protecting, if you're taking PrEP, you protect against anal sex or transmission via anal sex, then you must take it for 7 days, build up your immunity, or you can do your daily dosing, which is two pills, 2 24 hours before, one pill 24 hours after, and one pill 24 hours after that. But that's only for anal sex. Okay. Whereas if you are engaging in frontal or vaginal sex, you must take a full 7 days course and then take it daily to ensure that you're definitely protected from HIV.
Okay. So I said earlier on in my intro about the Terence Higgins Trust, which called very early on, in fact, it was on March 25th, to say, look, particularly to the gay community, you know, stop, kind of like keep yourself healthy and don't really get involved in, well, in having sexual contact, which is kind of like, you know, one day here, one day there, really kind of slow down and close the door.
Yeah.
We all are aware of all the social apps that are out there, etc., where on tap you can get sex. But if you're a person who's been taking PrEP and you said, okay, yeah, I'm going to do the social distancing, I'm not going to get involved in sexual activities, I'm just going to kind of keep myself to myself, but I want to keep taking PrEP. Should you, and are there any side effects to that? Because a lot of people, when I've been doing the research, actually find that taking PrEP actually boosts their confidence, etc. I mean, are there any issues around that, or can people continue?
So I think it's important to recognize that with PrEP, it alleviates anxieties and fears around HIV. So people, I know individuals who their partner is positive, and they still take PrEP despite U equals U, because it just makes them feel that bit more at ease, and it's one more barrier against them getting HIV. There could be individuals who are in domestically abusive relationships who are now isolating with their abusive partner, who they don't know if they're having sort of sexual activity outside of their relationship, who then put themselves at risk. There are some people who could be sex workers who, despite COVID-19, are unable to not go to work, shall we say, because that's their living, and because they work in the informal economy and in an illegal entity, they can't claim furlough, they can't claim some of the government schemes. Exactly. So actually, it's in also people are human, so some people, despite being told to lock down and self-isolate, won't do that. It's very important that people, like any form of medication you're taking, if you are engaging in activities that would put you at risk of HIV, continue to take it. Because we should all be social isolating and not mixing with people outside of our households, there shouldn't be as great a need to take it if you're single or you have regular sexual partners who are living with you. But again, it all depends on the circumstance of people who are taking the medication.
Yeah, I mean, I have a friend who continues to take it, and he similar to what you said there, in terms of it's about how it makes him feel, not just in relation to his partner who you know, they've been in a relationship now for 5 years, but it's about, he just has that anxiety of, you know, he's very old school, comes from the days, particularly of the latter part, early part of the 90s, where HIV and AIDS were quite prevalent. So for him, it just makes him feel more at ease. So you are right. I suppose it's a psychological thing as well. I want to ask you this question, though. Will I still be able to get my PrEP pills is another question. Obviously, with the whole lockdown, access to pills to ensure that people like my friend and can still access them. Is there issues around that?
So I myself have not heard of any issues directly through services that I work with. However, I think we need to be wise to the fact that services are being run more on a shoestring, less staff members are available, people obviously isolating, people are off sick. So actually, with any epidemic or any sort of illness like this, you need to recognize that if you're not at work, potentially those supplying medication also aren't at work. Given that a number of these pills, some of they can, if you tell me you buy it from, could come from Asia, China, where obviously there's a number of issues obviously with the Chinese lockdowns and transportation within China, etc. So I would say that depending on where you buy your medication from, depends on how likely you are to not be able to access it if you can't access it. But also bearing in mind that everyone has a supplier, And so it could, might not be your supplier that can't get these medications, but it could be their supplier or their supplier going back and back and back. Mm-hmm. So I would say that if you need to access PrEP, and however you access PrEP, be it on the impact study, be it via a private prescription, be it via different funding options in the UK, or even buying generic PrEP online, I would make sure that you order it ASAP if your levels are running low. And also making sure that you order, you only got at least 1 month's supply left in case there are delays. Because usually PrEP medication can be shipped to you within 1 to 2 weeks if you're buying it generically online. However, that could be interrupted because of the situation happening now. And a lot of companies are switching their production from, say, PrEP to, say, more flu-like coronavirus medications, tests, etc. So just bear that in mind when you are sourcing your medication.
You talked about, and I think it's an important point you made, about people still have to go out to work. There are sex workers, etc. There are also people in abusive relationships where, even though we're on a lockdown, kind of, we're supposed to be not going out regularly and visiting people, people still are. There are people do. We know that, in fact, to be true. And there are people still engaging in casual sex. The big question, particularly for those people and sex workers, is, you know, are we still able to get our regular HIV and STI checkups? You know, are services still open for us to do that?
I would say, because of the social distancing and the lockdown we're currently facing, I would say the best way to access an STI test is online for our postal kit. So SHL is a company within the UK that provides free sexual health screening for all STIs, including chlamydia, gonorrhea, and syphilis, as well as HIV. And for those who are deemed to be more high risk, also offers hepatitis B and C as well. And you can access that at www.shl.uk. And that service is open to people who live in 29 of the 32 London boroughs, so vast majority of them. And I believe that the other three boroughs who aren't on the service have another service available to them. So that's the best way to access those services. It's good to bear in mind that some boroughs do limit the number of tests they provide each day via SHL. So there's a cap, not for certain groups, but just a cap in general. However, if you need to go into a clinic and access testing, I've not been made aware of any services that are completely shut down. But bearing in mind that a lot of sort of like GPs, dentists, hospitals are switching to sort of crisis mode, and they're only providing essential services. So I would always check with your local clinic or the clinic you access to ensure they are open. And if they're not, look to go online instead. And lots of clinics will have signposting and referrals into online testing if you do need to get a test. Again, bearing in mind that laboratories might be slightly busier with other testing at the moment, say for coronavirus. So your results, although usually can come back within a few days or weeks, it might be slightly longer depending on the demand of that clinic specifically.
Okay, we're going to post all that information afterwards. Let me get to my question, which I posed at the beginning. I said, why safe sex still matters though, even if you're on PrEP. Tell us why it still matters.
So safer sex still matters because PrEP, as fantastic as it is, only protects you against HIV. And there are many other STIs out there, such as chlamydia, gonorrhea, syphilis, hepatitis A, B, and C. You can obviously get a vaccination for hepatitis A and B, but the fact of the matter is you're not immune to all STIs. So safer sex is still really important. And part of the safer sex message comes with using condoms. So a number of people that I know will use condoms as one barrier against STIs. They'll then use PrEP as a second barrier, but knowing that condoms are the only way to protect against all STIs, not 100% effective, no, but they are 98% effective if used correctly.
So then let me ask you this question. I know you want to extend on this, but this is important. Why then do you think the message is being missed, particularly amongst the younger generation, where they see the barrier only that they need to put up and to protect themselves is popping a pill called PrEP, And the secondary, or the first, as I would say, in terms of condom use, particularly in the gay community, is not even on their kind of like reference, their frame of reference at all. Why is that? Where have we missed the messaging? Where has Positive Eve and other organisations missed that messaging? Because it's not getting across to so many young people.
Young people are a unique age group. And as someone who's a young person myself, just about, I will claim that category as well. However,
you can claim it. You can own it. Thank you.
I'm just outside, but it's fine. We can extend the age ranges.
Thank you.
Young people, I think, and myself is included in that, is that we didn't grow up with the HIV/AIDS epidemic of the 80s, the 90s, and the early noughties. So we, I think, have grown up, fortunately, you could argue, in a world where actually HIV is not going to be the death sentence it was a few decades ago, which is, I think, fabulous. We've come so far in our science, in our prevention, in society. However, with that, people have grown up for a number of years now thinking, if I become infected with HIV, it's fine because I could just go on some medication and take the medication for my life, and then I will live a happy, normal life as anybody who's negative, which is not untrue. But obviously, we don't fully understand the long-term effects of HIV, given it's only been around for the last 30, 40 years. We don't know the long-term effects of living with this virus and having this condition. And again, people also don't know the long-term effects of being on medication that is quite powerful for that amount of time for this specific reason. So
I think you can read research and you can talk about how potentially it's affecting your liver, etc., by ongoing. So, I mean, you know, nothing is certain.
No. And so I would say that the issue comes from, it's not so much people are missing the mark in terms of promoting safer sex to young people. I think it comes from the old generations of people in society. They see the effects, and they saw the effects of having HIV, and they saw the absolute atrocities that were done to people with HIV, the way they were treated, the stigma, the prejudice, the fact that nurses would even give them food in hospital, would touch them. It was an absolutely awful time. And so that stays with people. Trauma stays with you more than positive messages do. So I think that it's about making sure we're engaging young people as best we can, and making sure that we are delivering messages in a way that they can fully understand that actually that has started with the compulsory sex and religious education within schools. And again, that will start the message off from a much younger age, because young people, again, myself included, I had quite good SRE when I was at school. But compared to what it would be now, it wasn't the best it could be. But most people didn't even get half as good as I got. And I was very fortunate that I started working in sexual health at the age of 14, so I got a much better understanding of these things from a much younger age. However, now that every young person will go through school having a basic understanding of sexual health, including safer sex, testing, condom use, PrEP, LGBT specific within that, that should hopefully help to curb some of the stats we're seeing with STIs amongst young people.
Absolutely. Okay, I wanted to talk about chemsex as well, but I think we're going to have another conversation about that because time's catching up with us. What I really want to address quickly is something, again, I'm shocked to see online, where some people were talking about COVID-19 and talking about how PrEP can protect them against COVID-19. And I want you to just clear that up, because that for me was quite scary.
Mm-hmm. So I have read those same articles and those same things that talk about, obviously, because HIV is a virus, COVID-19 also is a virus, and they have to try and find a vaccine or to try and find a treatment or some form of cure to COVID-19. They have been trying out many things, including HIV medications, if they can potentially cure or prevent someone from catching the virus. And obviously, we've not got an official vaccination yet. We've not got an official cure yet per se, so I would say that in my expert opinion, you can't be going out and self-medicating, you can't be going out and trying drugs you think it would work. You have to trust official government and NHS and Public Health England guidelines as and when they're given to us, and once we have the correct vaccine or the correct medication that's been approved in our country, that's a new take. But I would very, very, very strongly err on the side of caution as to self-medicating with HIV medication to try and combat COVID-19.
Andrew, you're an absolute star. You've got to come back. We are going to talk about chemsex, so you've got to come back.
Definitely.
And other things as well. You are now, I tell you this, now our health correspondent for the show.
Thank you. I'll take that. Fine. If you insist, I'll happily come down and do that. Do I get a badge or a sash?
I'll get you a sash.
Thanks.
I want you to give out the information. How do people find out more about the work of Positive, even if they've got any questions after this broadcast as well, if they want to contact you guys, how do they do it?
So Positive East, our website is positiveeast.org.uk. We're on Facebook and Twitter at Positive East, or you can email us at talktome@positiveeast.org.uk. And the GMI Partnership again is gmipartnership.org.uk, Facebook and Twitter at GMI Partnership, and then email is info@gmipartnership.org.uk. But Positive East and the prevention and testing team, which I'm a part of, during sort of working hours, so Monday to Friday, 10:30 to 5, during COVID-19, are providing a live chat service, people to log on and speak to us face-to-face in live time about any sort of sexual health queries they've got. And again, just go to the website positiveeast.org.uk and you can navigate it from there.
Andrew, you're an absolute star. You're really coming back. Andrew Kerr from Positive East. He will be back, no doubt, in a few weeks' time. And we are going to be talking about when we get into, just before the summer, chemsex as well. Andrew, thank you for coming online.
Okay, so look, stay ahead. We continue. Trevor Blackman now after the 2:00 news. Don't go anywhere.